Welcome back to Sports Day. Thanks to Repco Authorised Service for Expert Car Service. You can book online at repcoservice.com. They bring us Sports Day. And today, you would have heard the announcement around the West Australian Football League, and the grand final is going to be played at Leaderville Oval. And there is going to be a lot of activity in and around the ground. We'll have a chat to Scotty Baker, who'll bring us right up to date with what the plans are. Scotty, welcome to Sports Day. How are you?
Yeah, going well. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with the submissions first, because it sounds like it was very keenly contested.
No, it was, yeah. It was a really difficult process and really challenging process in the end. There was five really compelling EOIs that got put in, and sort of everyone's got something a little bit different going for them across the five different venues. So obviously, Mandurah is only 9 or 10,000, which was going to make it pretty difficult from that point of view, but albeit a great application from them. Obviously, Joondalup, Fremantle and Bassendean have all got different things going for them. But in the end, with sort of Leaderville, we're really confident around the surface. That'll be fine. And, it's that central location, and it's probably going to be a neutral venue as well. So on balance, we've gone for Leaderville this year. And, really excited about what that city can bring to life for our Waffle Grand Final in about 8 weeks.
Scotty, you and I were both at Leaderville Oval this afternoon. Sun was shining and the ground looked in reasonable condition, but there's a lot of criticism, and rightfully so, about the status of the ground, the surface, over the past month. What has been committed to making sure it's as good as possible come the start of October?
Yeah, no, that's right, Ski. So, yeah, out there today, and it's sort of had 2 weeks of no football at all, a bit of sunshine today and some sort of turf replacement, which will get us through the rest of the year. There's obviously 4 more weeks to get us through the rest of the year. But, yeah, the ground's come up quite good with less football on it. But, yeah, in terms of the grand final, so the City of Vincent committed as part of their application a really strong financial commitment for a turf replacement and ground maintenance plan, and that also includes an independent turf expert who'll come in and oversee the whole plan just to make sure everything's done as we want in terms of getting the ground up and going. And there's going to be a 4-week break from any training or games in the lead up to the grand final. So I think the last game there will be 3rd of September, and then there'll basically be 4 full weeks of nothing on the ground and hopefully some better weather. So yeah, come 1 October, we're really confident the ground will be in great condition.
How much of the ground are we talking about here? Is it going to be the whole ground, parts of the ground? What are we talking?
No, it'll be right through the centre corridor. I think it's about 12 or 1300 square metres of turf. So it's going to be a significant amount right through the middle of the ground, and then also on the sort of interchange side is what the turf management plan's got in place at the moment. And then, we'll see how the next 4 weeks go and assess at the end of the season, come that last game on the 3rd of September, and work out whether we need to add to that or tinker that plan. But at this point in time, it's looking like it'll be sort of 1300 square metres through the middle and then on the interchange side as well.
What about amenity? Toilets, food, all of those sorts of options that people want when they're going along to the footy. They don't want to be waiting for too long. We know what it's like. And closing the streets to make it nice and safe and easy for people to get access.
Yeah, that part's going to be fantastic. We had the CEO of the City of Vincent there today at the press conference, and yeah, they've committed to basically close all of Oxford Street from the train station right up through the heart of Leaderville into Leaderville Oval, which would be fantastic. And they're going to allow all their cafes and bars and restaurants to really filter out onto the footpath and right out to the middle of the street there. So it's going to be a great atmosphere down there, which would be great. And then the other thing in terms of Leaderville Oval, it's got 4 separate gate access points, obviously Subi Footy Club and Leaderville, and then the north eastern end and the southeastern end, they're gates as well. And behind all those gates, there's flat surfaces where you can put pop-up bars and food outlets. And then obviously on top of that, you've got the Subi Football Club bar and stuff there as well in East Perth. So there's going to be some really good spread out vantage points to be able to set up those food and beverage outlets without actually impacting the crowd numbers as well. So they're sort of behind where people would be standing. And then they're spread out those 4 separate entries, which is another reason why Leaderville's a good option for us.
And the possibility, let's just hypothesise here, West Perth versus, say, South, or the Bulldogs and East Fremantle, which is still on the cards as well. How are you going to... Well, it's going to be packed, obviously. And what sort of numbers do we realistically think we can get in there by terms of being allowed in the modern era?
Yeah, so it's sort of conservatively 14,000 at the moment. We're going to explore all sorts of options around some temporary seating and stuff like that, but we think it'll be minimum 14,000. But we also know that there's never going to be everyone that stays the whole day. So, for example, the Colts and reserves, you know, supporters and families and players, you know, if their league team's not in, they'll probably leave. We found that in 2020 as well. So, you know, we might be able to sell sort of 15,000 to 16,000 tickets to get people through the doors, which will, you know, it's not going to appease everyone, but we're going to structure our ticketing system where we want to guarantee to make sure that every sort of paid up waffle member of the teams that are playing on the day get a ticket for a period of time, and then open it up for other waffle members and then general public after that. So really prioritise those people that are passionate and invested in the waffle, and then everyone else will come after that.
What sort of numbers do you envisage, say, for corporate hospitality opportunities? Are there going to be a couple of marquees which will enable people to not only come along and have some food and drink, but maybe get a whole package for the day?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the next bit that we'll start to work through. But, yeah, roughly speaking, obviously Subiaco and East Perth have got their own individual, you know, outdoor seating, which comes with indoor function rooms and bars as well. And they're sort of 150 to 180 each. And then there's another one underneath East Perth as well. And then also the at the DSR, or the, you know, DLGSC's got space there. And then the city as well. And then also the rec centre up the top. So there's heaps of different space in and around the ground. And then we're also like looking at pop-up options around the ground as well. We actually elevate it and sell it as a bit of a, like you said, marquee corporate type package where it might be a bit more comfortable for to view the game.
Is there any opportunity here for, and when we're talking about activations in the adjacent retail precinct, what about some entertainment in and around the ground, like a band at the conclusion to keep people in and around? Or is that something that you're going to leave to the local premises to deal with?
Yeah, probably the local premises, but what there will be at the bottom end of, I forget what it's called, right at the bottom end of Leadable there, as you're coming off the train station, the city's committed today that there'll be a big screen, little precinct set up there as well. So even if you can't get a ticket to the game, we'll encourage people to head into Leadable, watch the game on the big screen and enjoy the festivities in and around Leadable. And then in terms of post-game, we haven't sort of got onto that one yet, but I think there's enough in Leadable where when people, you know, leave and want to kick on, there's plenty of different options in Leadable, or it's a short walk to the train station to go and do your next thing from there. So we think there's plenty of options that'll suit, you know, everyone that's going to head along to the Waffle Grand Final.
No question about that. The next venue with music, it's called the Hippie Club. It's been around for 100 years, Bakes, and you and I are some chance, I reckon, at about 9:30 just to...
I think so. I don't care how many people catch COVID at that point of time of the season. Up until then, I'm worried. After that, I don't mind how many people get COVID.
Good on you, Bakes.
Thanks, guys.
Great to speak with you. Scott Baker, the executive manager of the WAFL, Leadable Oval, the spiritual home of West Perth. Going to host the grand final.
Big decision. So congratulations to them outbidding Fremantle, who I thought were absolute Monties. And then I think they were fairly confident up the other end of town too in Joondalup with the mighty Falcons where they're housed right now. But in the end, neutral territory, because East Perth, you wouldn't have thought, they have to win every game from here. You wouldn't have thought that's going to happen. And Subiaco certainly planning for 2023. We need to clear a commitment. We'll keep the footy theme going. We'll talk AFLW next. Michael Pryor, the coach of the West Coast Eagles, will join us here on Sports Day.